Now it's election season in the state and around the U.S., and according to a new report on congressional and state district boundaries, quote, America's approach to districting is both unique and, by the standards of modern democracy, uniquely awful. Why? Two things. One of them is gerrymandering, according to the report. The other, a fundamental decision in how we represent ourselves in legislatures. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about how we got to where we are today with state and federal legislative maps? How worried are you about partisan gerrymandering around the country, here in Wisconsin in particular? Are there changes you'd like to see? Do you want to see Wisconsin, for example, go to some kind of independent commission to draw those lines in the future? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. Lee Drutman is a senior fellow in the political reform program at New America. He's author of Breaking the Two-Party Doom Loop, The Case for a Multi-Party Democracy in America, lecturer at the Johns Hopkins University Center for Advanced Governmental Studies, and co-host of the podcast Politics in Question. His recent report for New America is called What We Know About Redistricting and Redistricting Reform. Lee, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, it is a great delight to be talking about this crucial topic with you at this crucial time in our nation's history.
There's a two-part problem as I read the report. Let's start with the one you spend the most time on and the one that I think is most familiar for people, gerrymandering, the idea of partisan line drawing for our congressional seats. In your report, you say it's got a long history in America, but in some ways it's particularly bad now. Why is that?
Well, it is particularly bad now because the stakes of our elections are so high and our parties are so evenly balanced that if one party gets a hold on the state legislature and uses that hold to give itself a few extra congressional seats or a few extra seats in the state legislature, it gets a boost that allows it to get 100% of the power in the Congress or in the state legislature with a very narrow majority. And you know, when we have this moment of close elections and extreme hyper-partisanship, every little advantage is just incredibly important and incredibly consequential.
The other part of this report that I think people might take for granted is the way we elect people to Congress or the legislature, single representative districts where this chunk of real estate elects one member of Congress, that chunk over there does another one. This is just how we've all voted probably for our entire lives if we lived in the U.S. Why do you see that as a fundamental problem?
Well, the problem is that it's the single member district that makes gerrymandering possible. Matt, imagine if there was one statewide district in Wisconsin and all representatives were elected proportionally from that statewide district. Would you be able to gerrymander it? Nope. So really, you can only do gerrymandering with single member districts because this gives you many different options of ways that you can draw district lines and push the other party's voters into just a few districts and spread your voters more equally across all districts. But take that possibility away and you don't have gerrymandering anymore. Now, the U.S. is just one of really a handful of advanced democracies that still uses what I would consider to be a very antiquated system of single member districts. It doesn't make any sense. The second district of Wisconsin is not an organic community. It's an artificially drawn community. I don't know something about the second district of Wisconsin that you know.
Right. And that takes us back to gerrymandering and how those lines with single member districts are drawn. Can you talk about some of the tactics you looked at in the report that, say, a state legislature might use to pack, say, a lot of Democratic voters into a second district or Republican voters in another state into another district?
Well, the basic game with gerrymandering and districting more broadly is that it matters very much where voters live. So ideally, you'd pack all of your opposing party's votes into just a few districts and spread, or basically as many as you can, and then spread your voters out more equally. This is possible, again, with single member districts, but the idea is that it's not so much how many voters you have statewide, but rather what the balance is in each district. So this is the classic technique. Distribute your voters more efficiently so you win more districts, and distribute your opponents' voters less efficiently so they are all concentrated in a handful of districts. Now, the reality of our politics is that Democrats mostly live in the cities. In Wisconsin, for example, you have two cities that are predominantly Democratic and the rest of the state not so much. This is not unique to Wisconsin, but what it means is that Republicans have a kind of natural advantage just by being the party of the countryside and smaller towns, and Democrats have a natural disadvantage by being the party of cities because they naturally concentrate more of their voters. It also means that it's not really gerrymandering that's causing the decline in congressional districts that are competitive. It's geographic sorting. If Republicans and Democrats live in very different places, it's just really hard to draw competitive districts. And I think this is really important because we often blame gerrymandering for extremism and for everything that's gone wrong with our politics. But the problem is that it's not just, although gerrymandering does make it worse, when you have single member districts in which you can only have one winner, Democrats stop competing for districts that are outside of the major cities, and Republicans stop competing for districts that are in the major cities, and you wind up with this bifurcated binary system in which the two parties just don't really compete against each other.
Talking to Lee Drutman from the group New America. He's the author of a new report called What We Know About Redistricting and Redistricting Reform. You can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. In just a few moments, we'll look at independent commissions in some states, whether they make a difference. What do you think? Call 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Brad is with us in Jefferson. Brad, hi.
Hi there. I think that Wisconsin is gerrymandered so badly, the Republicans don't really need to listen to the people because they don't need the people's support. They've got power, and a lot of that comes from big business money. But it ends up being that the Republicans then ignore the will of the people. You see that in this referendum that Evers is talking about right now.
Brad, thanks for that call. Lee, do you agree with Brad that the two distortions you talk about, gerrymandering and sort of the geographic way we do districts, ends up allowing a party in power to ignore the public will, as Brad worries?
Well, I think what you have in Wisconsin and some other states are, Wisconsin is a 50-50 state, but the congressional maps are drawn in a way that benefits Republicans. The legislative maps have been terribly gerrymandered. So Republicans pay attention to their voters. Democrats pay attention to their voters. Now, I think one of the challenges in this particular political moment that we're in which the parties are extremely polarized is that there is no single will of the people. There's a Democratic vision for the state and for the country. There's a Republican vision for the state or the country. And to think that, well, if only the districts were drawn more fairly, the will of the people would be represented, ignores this deep level of polarization that is a product of the urban-rural split in our politics, refracted through single-member districts in the two-party system. So while gerrymandering has obviously given Republicans an advantage in the state of Wisconsin, the deeper problem is also the way in which it reinforces this polarization, which makes it hard to agree on anything. So there is no real sense of what do the people want, because there's Republican people and Democratic people in our politics right now.
Brad, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Lee, in your new report, you look at the states that have come up with some kind of alternative to having, you know, state legislatures draw these lines. What, if any, kind of impact did that end up having?
So there are a couple of states that have moved to independent citizen commissions, which are really, truly independent from the state legislatures. And it seems as if California, Colorado, Michigan, these are states that have done this, have produced maps that are at least fairer to both parties. So the balance of representation is roughly equal to the party's vote share across the state. However, they haven't produced that many competitive districts because of the problem that I mentioned earlier, which is that Republicans and Democrats just live in very different places, so it's very hard to draw competitive districts. So independent redistricting commissions, if they are truly independent of the state legislature, and the state legislature has no power to override them, which is the case in some states that do have commissions, but truly independent commissions do produce a modest improvement in the fairness, but they still are unable to draw very many competitive districts.
We're talking to Lee Drutman, senior fellow in the political reform program at the organization New America, about his report, What We Know About Redistricting and Redistricting Reform. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see a change in how Wisconsin draws its political maps for members of the U.S. House of Representatives, for members of the State Assembly and Senate? Do you think it would make a difference if we had some kind of independent system instead of having whoever's in charge of the state legislature do it, as filtered ultimately through the courts in many cases? And what about the urban-rural divide between parties? Do you think there's a way to get a more representative, whatever that might mean, outcomes in elections? What do you think of the idea of something like, hey, the whole state votes for Congress and proportional representation determines how many members from each party go to Washington? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with senior fellow Lee Drutman from the group New America, looking at his recent report on redistricting and redistricting reform. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think gerrymandering, partisan ways to draw these lines for legislatures here in Wisconsin and nationally, are a problem? If so, what would you like to see as a solution? Do you have questions for our guest about how this works around the country? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Back to your calls. Zach is with us now in Elk Mound. Zach, hi.
Hi. I do believe the gerrymandering is a problem in Wisconsin. I'm sure other places too. I'd just like to get your guest's thoughts about ranked choice voting.
Zach, thanks for the call. Yeah, some members of the legislature from both parties have floated ideas about ranked choice voting here in Wisconsin. Lee, big in the news after the special congressional election in Alaska. Do you have thoughts on ranked choice?
I have lots of thoughts on ranked choice voting. I've done actually another report, What We Know About Ranked Choice Voting. So I think ranked choice voting is an improvement over the existing system of first-past-the-post voting. But I think it's a pretty minor improvement. I think it doesn't solve the gerrymandering problem, and because it doesn't address the problem of single-member districts. To me, that's the core problem, is that as long as we have single-member districts, we have the possibility of gerrymandering. And we have districts that are lopsidedly Democratic or lopsidedly Republican, so ranked choice voting won't even really matter in those elections because it's just so solidly one party or the other. Now, I could see the case for doing statewide proportional representation with ranked choice voting, and that's a system that's used to elect the Australian Senate, for example, is to have larger multi-member districts with ranked choice voting. It's also used to elect the Parliament of Ireland. So I think there's value there. But without addressing the core problem of the single member district, ranked choice voting is not going to do all that much. I think it could work well in more local elections, like city elections, which are often nonpartisan. But as far as solving the problem of gerrymandering, it's not going to solve the problem of gerrymandering.
Zach, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Jimmy joins us now in Oconomowoc. Jimmy, hi.
Hi. Three words: John Wesley Powell. So John Wesley Powell is the first guy to go down the Grand Canyon. He explored and surveyed the West, and he proposed way, way back what should be our natural districting policy throughout the nation, and that, to wit, is through watersheds. Watersheds represent our primary necessity for resource management, and are a natural guide to districting people together in communities that really matter to them. So that's my proposal.
Jimmy, thanks for the call. Jimmy hits ultimately, Lee, I think, on one of the criteria, communities of shared interest, that goes into setting district lines, at least in theory. But that's just one of, I think, five, and nobody really agrees on what all five of them mean. Can you talk about all the different things people are trying to balance?
Yeah, so the first and perhaps most central thing that people talk about is the idea of fairness to both parties, that it should be neutral, it shouldn't advantage Democrats or Republicans. And given our close two-party politics, this is obviously a central focus and something that the independent commissions can do a decent job of. Then there's the ideal of having competitive districts, which, you know, we think, well, elections should be competitive, but again, given that Democrats and Republicans live in very different places, it's very hard to draw competitive districts within the single member framework. And so now we have about 10% of districts this election that are really competitive, which is kind of an absurd definition of democracy if we have 90% of elections in which there's no real competition. So those are the big two. Then there's the question of compactness, which is that we like districts that look compact, or at least don't spread out over too big of an area. This is a little bit more of an aesthetic choice, but I think it connects to the idea of communities of interest, which is that you should keep communities together, which gets on the question of maybe watersheds are the right community of interest. And that's a novel idea. I admit this is the first time I've heard that. But it is certainly intriguing. And then finally, a fifth criteria is the idea of being fair to racial minorities by allowing them to elect candidates who represent them. This is the idea of majority-minority districts. And that is also a challenge within the single-member district framework, because it's not always the case that people of communities of color live in distinct areas. Sometimes they live more diffusely in a way that makes it harder to elect a majority-minority, or to have a majority-minority district. Nonetheless, that has been a way in which minority representation in Congress hasn't increased over the years. It may be harder to improve on that much now. So those are the five criteria: partisan fairness, competitiveness, compactness, keeping communities of interest together, and fair racial representation.
Thanks for that call, Lee. Just, I want to take our last couple of minutes, since we keep running up against the problems you see with a single member district. How do we get from that to something else?
Well, the alternative of multi-member districts with proportional representation is hardly a novel idea. It is used in most advanced democracies around the world. But we have had multi-member districts at various times in our history, although they weren't proportional. So state legislature could pass a law for its own state election. So tomorrow the Wisconsin state legislature could pass a law that state legislative elections for Wisconsin are elected through proportional multi-member districts. However, they cannot affect how the congressional delegation is elected because Congress in 1967 passed a law requiring single-member districts, the Uniform Congressional Districting Act, which was passed to prevent southern states from moving to a system of block voting, which would have been very bad for minority representation. But ideally, Congress could pass a law that would either allow states to experiment with different forms of proportional representation by repealing the 67 prohibition on multi-member districts and allowing states to try out different approaches as long as they're proportional, or Congress could also mandate proportional multi-member districts. And there is, in fact, a bill, the Fair Representation Act, which is sponsored by Representative Don Beyer, which would do this. But I also want to point out that I was involved in a recent scholars letter, over 200 esteemed scholars of democracy who agree that the single member district is well past its sell-by date, and in order to have fair representation in the U.S., we need to move to proportional multi-member districts.
We'll leave it there. Lee, thanks again for joining us.
Well, thank you, Rob. I hope the beginning of a real big conversation about how we do representation in the 21st century in America.
That's Lee Drutman, Senior Fellow in the Political Reform Program at New America, looking at his new report, What We Know About Redistricting and Redistricting Reform.